I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hello. I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
This is Low Moon Outsiders, and the story continues.
All right, and... sorry, that's this one. And because it was your initiative 7 was before his initiative, he will not fire the sound because he got it. A nearby target or the total. What level was it? First level.
I can maintain it, but I can't do it without it.
Yeah.
The only way I can think about it is a encrypted file.
Yeah, it says only 30 years. Maybe we can talk about it.
I'm trying to figure out a way to take the burden off of the investment.
Oh, I know what it is now. So, so just trying to target him offensively?
Him or the bucket. Him or the bucket.
Okay, so I mean, you get the sense that it's not like against trying to do something like that, but it's
there's something lacking, like it's not the right kind of target, or it's, it won't fit. Okay, and unless the fire down, right? About 8 feet. Okay. Very close. Okay. They're scattered along the tree line over a 30 to 40 foot area, but very close. Okay. They're all pretty close together. They're going to miss the fire right now, so they're going to fire. And so, because they're in the woods, everyone will get some cover. So they may fire into a tree or hit a tree branch or things like that. Okay, for the further there. So it would be 30% cover, except the one that's right at you. Will be 30% cover, and the ones that are furthest away will be 60% cover. Okay. So we're going to start with the closer ones. So the one that's right 8 feet away from you fires at you two shots, point blank. One will hit for 8 points. Other two, one of them that's there will fire a Chiron. Birds miss. So the shots arc off into the woods. The last will be random between you or Chiron. You're even. So that's on you. He shoots one at each of you. So on you, he missed. On Chiron, he missed. Okay, that takes care of those. Okay, these ones are further away, so they're 60% still on your two of you, however. This guy fires one on each of you. Chiron would be hit, checking for cover. Cover hits out the arrow. Okay. Next one. Fires one on each of you. Boom would be hit. Second for cover. Cover by zero. This is three on zero. The last one there. One on each of you. Some little common tactic. On the team, there's a miss. On the ground, there's a miss. And back over here. So these guys are going to go on. Chiron or his horse. Both on Chiron. Three on Chiron, one on his horse. Miss, miss, miss. So he got all miss. And the horse got hit. I gave the horse cover. And amazingly, the horse is protected by cover. Got the hobgoblin shot at him. Furthest one away, this is on Harris. There's two of them. You are your horse. One on you, one on your horse. On you is a miss. On the horse is a miss. Okay. So they all fired point blank with their composite short bows and quite ineffectively. Okay. And then the two guys on the hill also are going to fire their short bows, short composite bows. They are at short range, not point blank range. And also, there will only be 30% cover, even though they are at great distance. So, it's going to be the first guy is going to put both on Chiron. Both missed. Jeez. Okay? Second guy puts both on him. Both missed. Wow. That's really lousy dice rolls. Okay. Harris is However, a spirit just killed them. And now they're 11. Plus the two guys on the mage.
It's hard to get like 15. We're whittling them down.
Thankfully, they are not like dogmen. They just keep spawning. Okay.
It's like a spell. You kill a few, and it's like there's 25.
That's how they go. The closest one to Herrick is about 8 feet as well. And he did fire at you with his bow, which means he does not have a melee weapon in hand, but come on. They can fight claw, but... Okay, we are in melee 9. Lots of shots. Don't do all the shots every time. Okay, melee 9, 8, 7. Melee 6.
No.
Okay. Alright, so you have one guy who's very close to you. So, generally speaking, bows get inside about 5 or 6 feet, they become useless. So if you charge him, he will not be able to shoot you next round, even if you manage to fail to kill him. You gotta get close to him to stop that, basically. There are another 4 of them along the tree line.
I will charge you one place.
Okay. Alright, so as you charge up to him, because he kind of knew that was coming, he throws his bow at you, and then he's gonna fight you claw claw bite. You have initiative, you go first, then him, then you, then him, then him, if you stay alive, which seems very likely, but it could happen.
Okay, so the first one, I need to take this
question. Alright, hold it. Might still hit. So, you're what level now?
Attack
on 13. Attack on 13, he's at AC, which is a miss. Okay, so he's gonna return fire with his claw. That happened eventually. Take 3. So you have to specify in advance if you're going to do it, right? But then if you miss and don't hit with it, then the breath weapon is used up, but then you can still declare it again on the next attack. Basically, you use 10 points and then you miss. You don't want to miss a lot. We were originally, when we dropped the character, we had her doing a dex check with the attacks, but that went away as she got better at it. Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LM GIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. Anyway, you're on your second guy you're talking to. And he hasn't fallen about yet. His ball will hit. Four points of damage. And then missed. So he took four from the claw and he missed. Him.
Slightly to the side and stab at the guy with the spear
at
the horseback.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to say there's a 20% chance that you can get up to speed in that short period of time. Joke, roll it or shall I?
Sure.
Look for it. Okay. You lunge the horse forward, but then you have to strike kind of to the side so it's not really a charge. Roll the hit.
AC 5.
Is it hit? And now you have clothes on him too, which means he won't be able to shoot you with the bow. Okay. He is speared. Five, maybe four. This guy here is running this way. Okay. I mean, the combat's not likely to be over even after you ride out there and kill him. Right check as you're dodging through the trees. It's not great, but it's sufficient.
100. That is a problem.
You didn't take arrow damage this round, did you?
No.
Okay. 89 is fine, though, right? And as you're riding over there, roll a d20. You see a human individual creeping up behind the hobgoblins. Behind the leaders. He has sword and dagger in hand. Now four.
Okay. They were an honorable.
You're going after the leader?
Yeah.
Yes. Both weapons?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four. Cross board hit from behind. Put an AC 5.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Yeah. lost your light.
Okay, he goes down.
He's badly gutted. Okay, realizing that he has been set upon from behind, this guy kind of dives and rolls and comes up over here looking at you. Well, he has increased the distance considerably, but he's still there. So the guy that you're pursuing does not try to turn on you. Rather, he's going to try to like dodge in between the trees and use them as cover. So you may attack him twice. However, I'll give him 20% cover.
So I realize he's not turning off before my first attack. I'll shout, turn and face me, you coward!
Okay.
And then I'll attack
him. And you stab him in the back.
This was in common, I assume?
Yes.
Never giving any thought.
Even if I did,
wow, that's
would this be centaur?
Roll for centaur dice, I rolled 58 plus.
Okay.
That cover does not. Just as you're like riding down on him, tree stump that's about 2 feet high is there, and you didn't see it because you focused on him and the horse, and you have to rein the horse hard to the right so he's not the horse's legs to go into the tree stump, and you missed the attack. However, the first hit hurt him pretty bad, and he's like limping and barely staying upright. So he's not really trying to run away anymore. It's more like just trying to keep it free between you and him. Point blank at Gimli. One. You can only left check. Okay. One will hit. The other will miss. No. And he'll do 8 points of damage. Could have done a lot better. pretty sure is not helping you other than being a normal helmet.
And it's golden and screwing up.
Okay. Also a missile fire. Okay, here. At this point, these guys are going to focus on Clune because Chiron, as a distraction, rode away. All three missed. These three, same thing. All three missed. It's over. Here, guys. Possible horse, nope. One possible hit, you can cover. Cover did not affect. So you hit once. For 4 points of damage. Oh, no, this is point blank. It's 12 points of damage.
You gotta think really
well. Okay. Last two guys. Both on here. Both. Okay. You need to ride roll to try to not be loose in the saddle. Oh! He shot you in the right foot. Okay. And then roll again to see if you stay in the saddle.
16.
Okay, so you do not take. What's your dex?
My dex is.
Okay, so actually you're falling out of the saddle at that point. Just with the rolls you just got in. So. Right? So you are dismounting. You have horsemanship, so you can roll to not take damage on the fall.
13.
Alright, so you're on the ground. And your foot hurts a lot.
Oh, right to your foot.
I don't have an arrow to your foot button, but it sounds a little bit.
I used to be an adventurer that you could take an arrow to.
Okay, we gotta go. It's taking a lot longer than I expected. Alright, so, since sure it's my fault. A stirred, two shots. Cut down on the number of hobgoblins. Two separate ones, I assume. Because you're killing them, they're going to shot. Both of them. Checking for cover. On the 20, no cover. On the 10, no cover. So 7 plus 6 is 11, or is 13, and 3 plus 2 is 5, plus 6 is 11. Okay, so two more go down. Let's see, we're gonna randomize which ones it was. So one of the guys near you, right near you, went down. And one of the guys on the far end, furthest away from everybody, went down. Seven. Six.
Okay.
He is he throws the composite bow at you as you charge in. And he'll miss. If you're fighting dual handed, correct? Can you get 2-for-1 with the short sword? Right on. So you actually get 3-for-2, so you get 2 this round. Right.
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
Well, you get 2 short swords back this round because you used it last round. Same combat. And you get 1 dagger attack actress. In total, you get 3 attacks. The first attack of which is short sword dagger together. So you go short sword dagger together, then he attacks, then your dagger, then he attacks, and he attacks again, if he survives. Does it hurt? Alright. So that was a melee five?
Six.
Okay. You have a guy that you wounded last round that's in front of you. That he comes over and like is reaching down at you, so he's probably your logical target.
Can I continue to
just check it, dex check.
Okay.
I will not be doing what I was saying for a charge. Okay.
Six is ten.
Okay. He will try to claw you and bite you. Miss. Hit. Hit. 2 hits. Claw. 2 points. Bite. 3 points. Okay. Quinn does see that Herrick appears to be getting the worst of it. The guy knocked him off his horse or something like that. Somebody knocked him off his horse anyway, and now he's like, rawr, 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 chewing on him on the ground. And we are in initiative. That was six. Now we're in initiative five. Four. Okay. You have two hobgoblins that are within 10, 12 feet to your left. Okay, but nothing's in your face because you killed him off time. And you could go toward Herrick, who's about 12, 15 feet away to the right, and get the guy off of him if you choose. Oh. Okay. Yeah, so you do have a guy in front of you. Okay, so you're going to have to kill him first before you go help Herrick. If they attack him with one dagger with 10 points of damage, it might be enough to kill him, and they need to go free hair. If you miss, then you just attack the other one. The nuclear option.
We'll see how it goes to just hit him. I'll just see him with
daggers.
Okay, roll the hit. Left hand first.
He missed you. Can you roll a 9? That's a hit.
4.0.
4 total?
Yeah.
Okay, you're still there?
And
2. Also a hit.
4 more.
Okay, so he goes down. The herd is thinning.
And I am 3%.
Alright, you can actually get another dagger straight this round, which you already killed him. Actually, you probably could. What it would result in is at the very end of the round, you get your last dagger straight on the guy that's attacking her. Also, you would be attacking him from behind if you could get plus 4 right off. Alright, so you're running over to help Harry.
I'm coming!
Okay. And then, yeah, that's actually all we have left. We have Tyrod. Okay, so he's just basically trying to keep a tree between you and him at this point. You're going to try to ride around the tree and kill him, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. So, make a ride check. He's drawing hand axes now. He has a bow on his back. Okay. Their claw bite is usually more devastating than melee than their weapons. Unless they're a champion and have special abilities. Okay, so make a ride check at minus 20%. If you make it, you will get, you'll be able to attack in your initiative. Okay, so what was your initiative? Okay, so you may roll to hit first time in your initiative. You've already hit him. He's already in pre-bag shape. Roll hit.
That's probably a miss. DC 7.
That is a miss. Oh, wait, no, he's the scout. If that is a hit, he's AC 7. Okay. Okay, down he goes. Yes. You took one arrow on the way in for 3 points. Oh, it's been a long night. Literally. That's the module name.
That's funny.
Okay. Okay. At this point, then, the hobgoblins break morale. You can stab the guy in the back first before that starts. That's probably still a hit. It's plus 4, 7. Plus the... What do we... Your backbow is 13? What level fight are you? Base 15. Strength bonus. So that's 14. So I think you can get minus 1 with that because you're using weapons of choice. So straight, so back up to 15. Okay. So you 12, and you rolled what? Okay. However, at that point, they are breaking morale, so they're going to run. So when he starts to run, you can get a free attack on him. Choking you, for that matter.
Yes, that's a question.
Yeah, I found it. Yep, both of you. They start to run.
I gave you my life.
The dice stabbed you by accident.
I mean, it's possible. Damage? Okay. So yeah, you sliced him and he started to run. He does bounce off the tree, but he is not unconscious. And he's like, still trying to get away. And at the same time, roll 20. So his spear comes past where the hobgoblin's at, nearly hits you, and actually hits your cloak or cape or whatever clothing. And the spear gets lodged in the clothing, but it doesn't do any damage. But it was very close. He almost got you. Almost got friendly fire.
Oh, sorry.
Pretty much laying on the ground. But.
That makes it even better.
I tripped up words. Okay. Asturid sees the hobgoblins are they're breaking and running. You could still target two of them if you want as they're running away. Okay, roll them twice. That one doesn't do it, huh? That one's broken. It only has low numbers on it. Back in the day, there was, for a nickel, I bought some dice at Gen Con that had 0 through 9 twice. Remember that?
Yeah.
And occasionally, I'd pick it up and roll it. It'd be rolling single digits, and I went, crud! I had a bunch of them for a while. Yeah. All right. So, another one died, right?
I gave 2 plus 2.
So, that's 4 plus 6 for your level. All right. So roughly about 6 of them are escaping. Yes, 6 of them are escaping. And none of the leaders. Okay, and only 2 of them are escaping in the general direction of the town. So, Aaron, you see 2 of the hobgoblins that were at the tree line running along the tree line to get away in the same direction as this guy went for reinforcements, it would be feasible for you to like cut them off and try to kill them before they. I mean, the first one left them. Okay. Alright, so you ride up to him. Let's see if he does try to defend himself. If he's just. He does. Okay, so as you ride up to him, he's going to fire his bow at you.
Yep. The other
one
still running.
Yes. Okay. So the guy that fires the bow at you will miss both times. And then you ride down the guy that kept running. And he did not stop to defend himself, so you can take your attack. Okay. These are regular high goblins, so they're AC5, so that's a miss. But you'd get plus 2 because he's running away and you're coming up on him.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so he goes down. Alright. And now I assume you wheel the horse and go back after the other guy. Okay. As you do so, he will shoot you twice more. He'll miss and he'll hit. 12 points of damage on a ride roll. They have point blanks. They all have point blanks. These are those hobgoblins.
57, I'll
do. No problem. Okay, and then you ride down him, which means he will not be able to shoot you anymore because you're too close to him.
DC 6. Okay.
Okay, which is a miss.
Because
now he's standing his ground. Okay. He does not want to throw away his bow. Okay, so he throws his bow at you. Yeah, you have to get him, like, to stay close for a minute. Okay, anyway, so we go to a new round. He threw the bow, he doesn't have it anymore. He's drawing hand axes. Which you can throw them in missile fire, so he'll do that. In the ball. This won't be point blank. That's a miss. If that's your horse, it's a hit. It is not. So it bounces off your shield. Okay. And you're up. Good. And Bonnie goes.
Then I want to, once he's down, I want to buy it.
Okay. Alright. So you make it back to the party. I assume a stirred enters the woods then at that point. Are you going to try to gather arrows? He's not. I'm going to have to buy some more of those.
Maybe try it. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Arrow will apart.
You managed to find 6 arrows. Of the 6, 1 is no longer serviceable. It's cracked. It does have a great arrowhead and fletchings that you can possibly run out of arrow. So let me do 3 to 5 Also, that leaves Parrot and Plume kind of in the middle. And you see this fellow who came and at the retreat. Oh, yeah, sorry, you guys met at the retreat.
He does Plume.
Yep.
Iron Man.
But not him. So you see him whom you have met previously. Well, some of you looks like him.
Fancy meeting you guys here.
Fancy meeting me here. Are you just repeating what I'm saying?
Are you saying what I'm saying?
Shit. I'm groaning as I'm getting
I'll move to help you out. I am?
Sure.
Can't believe... Don't think we've met. Generally.
Did you hear sounds of fighting in the woods in the distance?
I'm glad to make your acquaintance. I'm glad you're on our side.
He looked pretty beat up.
I'm over half. So I'm fine. Not great.
He looks a little beat up. But not terribly.
Does
Clune look beat up? Do you look beat up?
Am I here yet?
Clune looks pretty beat up. You're finishing off the second half.
I'll heal him as I grab his hand.
Okay.
Seven. Okay. Some of you know my party. If you guys happen to see them, I kind of got lost.
I don't see them.
It's possible they might be in the village. If they're heroes, they might be attempting to defend it when these folks come to
the
attack.
The centaur has entered the woods now and is moving along the wood line and putting his spear into the head of each of the hobgoblins to make 100% sure they're dead. He just walks up and he goes,
that guy's new.
He's local.
I see. So,
anyone grabbing pouches?
I haven't seen. We haven't seen a sign of anybody else.
Okay. Yes. As you look up, you see he is headed back now.
The same from the mountain, dealing with all manner of things.
Chiron returns. You can do healing on anyone that you want.
Can I heal
everybody? Not naturally, no. My hands are not natural.
I can take care of myself.
No, if, when you go to exam, they'll figure it out. Yeah, because it's basically like wounds that start to heal over.
Say, future reference, let me look at first.
I didn't do it. He did.
Oh, you're a healer.
Oh, you didn't.
I don't think he ever really saw you heal.
Right. So. I'm worried about all that. Anyways, that's the point.
Oh, I didn't.
He was fucking up the crap. I didn't know what he was doing.
I did not know you were still.
Check out The Moment Blood Bowl wherever you buy books. This is written by Pastor Daniel Stevenson, the longtime author and game master of Low Moon Adventures.
He's like me. He doesn't go, ooh, spell happen.
Yeah,
right,
I'll do lay on hands.
You're Jewish?
Yeah, are you pretty injured still?
I'm down 21 to 60.
There's
When we're not under such a time crunch, I would greatly appreciate that opportunity.
It'll be something to help
me
find my friends.
Boom, obviously needs your help.
Notes, your moon is liar / exaggerates.
No, he's not.
I know, but just casually saying you killed a demigod of death. Yeah.
17.
That's something he does from time to time. He downplays the really impressive things and upplays the really not impressive things about himself.
And then, myself.
Well, I'm injured too. I just got done killing a demigod of death.
You are hurt. I can provide
that. That would be
appreciated.
As you have not been magically healed since then.
I don't think so.
Okay. And you can only increase healing.
Got one on your.
Oh, that's open and hot.
I got plenty of hit points. Yeah. 35 to 6.
And 3. 17. That's a better.
Natural
healing rolls.
I've had
a really long time. Still barely above average.
What's that?
I'm gonna
use
one of the
DAs
on myself.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah,
cranking.
I'm assuming my minimum is
not
better than 2.
Are
I'm
we,
assuming we're
going.
We're planning on going back and defending the cabin.
Right.
No,
you
still have
no,
they are. They were going for the final sacrifice.
What are you guys
They were going to the final
sacrifice. I'm just the fringe guys. Okay.
They're working with groups of other like-minded creatures to attack the town here. And most of the local residents have taken refuge there, so it would basically be wiping out civilized habitation in the region.
Yes, are you the type of wandering hero that will accompany us?
course he will. She came like a demigod of death.
Yeah. I feel like you don't believe me.
Then this should be child's play for me under your stature.
Be an artifact. We change it. I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm humble at that.
Yes. Well, humble bard in the land.
Oh, God, he's a bard.
Sorry. I guess I could offer my services for a time. Maybe I'll glean more information on what I've read. It's been a weird couple of days. This is the most sunlight I've gotten in like a week.
Oh, we're very good at
it. Sorry. It's still mostly dark.
The sun's just starting to go up.
I understand.
It's still probably true.
We tend to go where the noise is. Go if your friends are anything like us, we'll encounter
them. We're just going looking for some dogs in the woods.
Okay. Meanwhile, Arden. Elsewhere, you and Reiki break from cover on horseback and ride hell-bent for weather toward the town. Reiki is waving a banner as you ride toward the town in the hopes that they will open the gate and let you in. Okay? You can tell that the main road that you're going to be approaching on, the gate is made of, it's a more of a kind of like a makeshift barrier. It's not like a gate, like on hinges or anything like that. It's not a walled town that has a 6-foot wall. You see, they've built up the walls. They have spikes at the top of them, like sharpened pikes, basically. So the walls are only about 4 foot high, and then they have pikes sticking out of the top. And on the road is made of, or the gate is made of wagons. And so in theory, they should be able to roll a part of it out of the way or make a gap so you can get through. As you break from cover, a number of bow shots do come at long range at the two of you. You will be hit on a natural 20 only. So you will not be hit at all. Your horse is hit once for 6 points. Reiki, not hit at all. Okay. And then there's a 60% chance that they will use one of their siege engines. Yes. So you or Reiki, one or the other, will be targeted by a ballista. Is you?
The backstab of the ballista.
You turn around just in time and go, oh boy! All right, here we go.
The backstab with the siege weapon.
Right, so they will hit on a 19 or 20. That's a 9. Which is not a 19 or 20. Okay, but it soars through the air nearby. It is not on such an angle as to be aimed at the town, so...
He did catch a tree. Yeah, I took one off from a... I wrote it down there.
A giant swine tree.
I think I caught it last year. I'm not negotiating. Put your vote to save the truckers.
Is
there
really a kid? I had a
truck with damage. It's the structure.
Right, yeah. I think I had half a point off the shoulder. But I gotta say, that would be one of the most fun... Dean's from this campaign, so hard to see it improve.
Okay, as you thunder up to the gate, the men manning the gate do see you, and they begin to make arrangements. You are stuck outside for several minutes while they make the gate open, but there's no one nearby to shoot at you or anything like that. You did see, as you were coming through the cornfields, it looked like goblins in the cornfields, but they didn't fire at you or otherwise interact with you at all. Okay. It's probably not a small number, you think. I mean, you saw dozens at least, which means that they could be as close as 50 yards to the town and have some soft cover. So you enter town before dawn, and what you see before you is basically a fortified village. They have barriers that are constructed internally, so that even if the wall breaks, they have some cover or some places to fall back to. A lot of the buildings are boarded up. In the center of town, you can see a stone building that is two stories and then one story. And it has, you know, the windows are shuttered, and it has some crenellations on the top, like a rampart, basically. And so you think that, you know, it's pretty defensible. It would not hold everybody in town by any means, but it would be a pretty defensible thing. It has arrow slits on the first floor. It's like an armory type building. And then there's a building that looks like a local temple, and it also has been fortified pretty good. There's a graveyard next to it. Total, there's about 60 buildings, and the largest is that one in the center of town. Everything else is pretty much like a farmhouse or a, you know, shop with residents in the back, that kind of thing. For defense, they're sitting at about probably 300 strong. You do see an area where tents have been set up, and the look of it is that there is a column of knights. See, like lances sitting against a post, horses tied up.
Do I see any banners?
Not there, but on a couple of knights that are patrolling the wall, and they are decorative. So
Elven.
Okay. All right, and then shortly you will be, you know, be like, thank you for coming to help us, blah blah blah, and then you're escorted to leadership. You meet the mayor in that big stone building that I mentioned before. He's sitting at a table. He is a 5'2" kind of rotund, bald man with a blue scarf and a leather jerkin and a mattock. The mattock is of an oldish design. Like, I think it's probably been around for a real long time. Also in the room is a single knight wearing the emblem of Christ the Protector, which is three moons in descending, getting larger as you go down their tabard. It is a female, curly, naturally kind of silvery blonde hair, reddish, burgundy eyes, very extremely fair skin, and she's wearing plate mail armor. And she has a shield and a bow on her back, and a short sword on her hip. She meets you halfway to the door, and you and Reiki, and she says, thank you both for coming to our aid. What have you seen?
Where to begin? We were out seeking someone to help in order to practice. We didn't have the time left. We encountered a sacrifice site for hobgoblins. We've cleared six of them, I believe. I dispatched a party of my allies to clear the last, as well as to deal with the hobgoblin chieftain. It should they be successful, diminish the spirits of or all out rout the hobgoblins. We've run into a number of other demi-human contingents. We've seen at least a troll, dozens of goblins. We saw gnolls on the way in, and we ran into some kobolds in a clearing on to sacrifice sites. Whatever this is, I've dealt with a lot of demi-humans, but I've never seen anything like this out of these numbers.
At this point, you're standing in front of the table where the mayor is seated. And Reiki says, we've seen the likes of it before in these parts. Every few years, the hobgoblins outgrow their border attempt to increase their areas of control. This is avaricious, but not unheard of. And the elven woman says, I concur.
My cousin was mayor of a town to the west. He and his kin fell last season to an onslaught not unlike this one. That's why we hired the mercenaries. She says, you get what you pay for. That's about right.
Do they usually take on this many pikes?
Right, he says, it's more like opportunistic. There's enough here, and as the human population of the surrounding area flees into this town, that just adds to the enticement. So, splitting the treasure and food, there's enough to go around. Plus, humans are generally considered to be a scar on the land.
That makes more sense.
For those that know of large human settlements that are now defensible, they think that if the humans are left unchecked in this region, they will eventually be strong enough to resist, and they want to ensure that never happens.
Not without good cause. Good solid keep around here. Might never see this again. Why, I never saw it at Australia. We never let it get this bad.
Yes, but a lot of money and a lot of manpower went into building that keep, and no one has fostered such an effort in this place, at least not yet. We're subsisting on growing crops, hunting, fishing, fur trading. There is no money for building keeps.
And reaches some government, right?
I mean, yeah, there's two governments. The Pan Reach is governed by what they call the Southern Capital, which is basically on the ocean. And they really, as far as governing, they really only reach out about maybe 100 miles, 1,500 miles from the capital. So they don't really govern this region at all. The whole nation is wild in that sense. And then the other government is what they call the Northern Capital, which it's only northern because it's about 20 miles north off the coast. But other than that, they're east-west pretty much the same, but it's an inland city, so they call it the Northern Capital. And it governs pretty much, 10, 15 miles to the west of it and stuff to the east of it. But it doesn't go further than that to the west because then it starts to get close to the western or the southern capital. So neither one of them really govern the land, per se. There are no paved roads. There are no capes. They don't build keeps. It's wild territory. They're governed by chieftains, local tribes, and the capitals of the Pomarj and the Pan Reach recognize those chieftains as authority. So hobgoblins, orcs, etc. are given the same credence. The northern capital is a humanoid capital.
This is good land. No one's come to snatch it. You clearly are doing well. But the capitals are... What, are they afraid of the
demi-human
population?
To build a keep here would take 10, 12 years, and you'd deal with the humanoid onslaught virtually incessantly. Even every time the humanoids rally, there's trolls, ogres, giants. During the battle tomorrow, we'll probably encounter dragons. It's an easy food source. As I said, our town was much smaller until people fled here from the humanoid onslaught.
Because it is what it is. Why, compared to the woman, are you here because of the commotion, or did you just find yourself in the area? Seems a strange place for a cadre of rice humanoids.
Some time ago, a little over 3 years, a winged knight from Thrice Moon Protectorate was downed in this area. We were rendered assistance. The knight was sustained, healed, and returned to us alive. My master feels we have a debt. It doesn't hurt that we hate hobgoblins and trolls and ogres and giants.
Dude, you found yourself in a providential place then.
We came in last night. We came on purpose. We rode hard to get here. Most of our number are sleeping in preparation for the battle now.
How many are you?
20. We are aware that the enemy not only possesses larger humanoid forces, but potentially dragons, and then also some siege weaponry, ballista, catapults, trebuchet, perhaps. And of course, the giants will probably be throwing boulders.
Do you happen to bring a bard?
No.
There is a bard
in town, the mayor says.
Every moment I spend contemplating the gravity of the situation, I find it more and more likely that should we manage to survive, this day shall make quite a song. What is the current plan? Just hold the line?
We believe that as the real onslaught begins, there will be an effort for them to move up their siege weaponry, and it is the intention of our knights to eliminate it as it is brought to bear. We can't sit here and be picked apart by it. My master has also requested assistance from the Griffin Riders, and we may get it.
I have hoped as much. The riders will be picked apart from the sky as much as the ground. I'm not familiar with the Griffin Riders' ability to face dragons in aerial combat, but they are revered, and I imagine they wouldn't hold so much fear if they were felled by simple beasts.
Griffins are much more maneuverable than dragons, as a general rule. Makes it easier to keep the dragons from plying their breath weapons, and then outmaneuvered, the griffins may apply their claws and beak for good effect. Okay. We'll do a little bit more of that at some point, but we're running out of time now. So, basically, she says they'll provide you with food, shelter, take care of your horses. They do have healers if you're in need, or if your horses are in need. And she figures, like, until you tell them that it looks imminent, it's going to be the attack is going to be dawn. They're not even sure the attack is coming today. Once you tell them that, then they start making preparations as if it's on the way. And roosters start crowing around town very shortly thereafter, so you know that dawn is happening somewhere. And so if your party is not successful, you can expect the full-on onslaught within an hour or two at the most. And she suggests that you would take up positions on the wall, hold a stretch of wall yourself, and assign you locals, adventurers, and militia and so on that will work with you to try to make sure nothing gets in. But she does say that, you know, once they start moving up the siege engines and they're within striking distance, strategy will have to be implemented for the elves or for someone to ride out and destroy it. That's if there are no griffin riders or dragons that come to the assistance of the village. And if they do come, then that might be all the more likely that would be when the elves could go and destroy it. Okay. So wrapping up on the other side, You leave behind the hobgoblin troops. Deermood travels with you. You pick your way through the woods. On the other side of that woods, there is a long, shallow valley. And it is populated, much like the rest of this has been, with like big copses of forest, basically. And you go down into the valley and skirt the edge of a lake that is there. And you manage to do so without running into any more opposition. As you come up the other side of the lake, you can already see that daylight is hitting the tops of the mountains in the distance and so on. The centaur has guided you to this point, and he leads you out onto like a ridge, like a cliff line, where you're overlooking rolling forest ahead of you and so on. And then about 3 to 4 miles away, you can see the mountains. And you can see the tops of the mountains are already white with daylight. And actually up on the ridgeline, you can look back to the east, the direction in which you've come from, and you can see a little bit of light coming through the trees and along the treetops where you can see above the trees. You know dawn is very close. You're within, you know, you're less than an hour within failing to stop the sacrifice. But again, it's likely that that sacrifice will take place at the same time, essentially, as the attack. And then from the ridgeline, you see a large hobgoblin force. Basically, they're moving in block military formation. So they're in like columns, they're in groups of like 20 by 20, and they're in squares, and they are marching from your right. Who has direction sense in that group?
I do.
Okay, so the right is north, okay? And they're coming down, so you're on a ridge, the valley with the lake behind you, and now here you're looking at this big, broad expanse of rolling hills, and they're coming from the right, and they're moving in block formation, 20 by 20 groups, and there are 6 of them. And so you see like one's here, and then one's there, and then one's there, and they're moving down. So they're going to move right essentially across in front of the ridge where you are. It is almost certainly more than you are capable of dealing with. And then the centaur suggests that these are the chieftain's, this is the chieftain's army, and that he is moving them into position to attack, and that if you're going to take out, if you're going to stop the sacrifice, now is the time. So he is proposing moving along the ridge line to the right, knowing that you may run into skirmishers, so being prepared for that, and then moving in behind the large force and trying to find the sacrifice. What's that?
He was potentially leading that. He's stealthy, and he's also visible to the...
So,
get tied up in a rolling battle. Have to keep moving as best we can. Otherwise, we'll never make it.
Yep. Okay, so that'll be the plan when we come back together. Moving along, you'll have the army to your left, but they are down. They're 150 feet below your position. So you really, if you run into anything, it'll be skirmishers. And then if you can tuck in behind the army to get the, to kind of make, perform like a surgical strike to stop the sacrifice, that's probably ideal. Avoiding the skirmishers tying you down and not getting trapped back there after stopping the sacrifice are would be the two highest priorities. And if you get stuck back there afterwards, you'll be in trouble.
Maybe I can get us out.
You realize that if you had to face that army.
Oh, yeah. 2,400 hobgoblins?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Six units of 400 hobgoblins. Yep.
That's more uprising, maybe.
Where'd you park at? By the dock?
I parked.
Ricky probably doesn't. Hey, Ricky, can you help him carry his stuff out when you go out? Can you help Arden carry his stuff out?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Where did you take it?
It depends on how quickly he's exhausted.
Uprising took out an army that size of orcs. I said Uprising took out an army that size of orcs.
Yeah, did about half of it by himself.
Years ago, years ago, the Origins Party was captured by an army that size. Mm-hmm. Lost everything, all their equipment. They're locked in cages. You're like right in that area. This is right almost where that happened. West and north of here.
We had someone doing We have a lot of AoE.
Unfortunately, fireballs aren't nearly as devastating versus armies as...
Yeah.
Unless you have a bunch of them.
Park air would be fairly effective. One of those few situations park air would actually be effective.
Yeah, I think he used everything he had. Yeah. And then Bayes Horde did a bunch.
Yeah.
And Arden's right, Theon was a werewolf at the time, so he was immune to werebearers, so he was immune to non-magic weaponry.
Eventually, everyone will figure out the problem with the origins part.
Deermuth flew him in,
Victor doesn't want
to fly, and dropped him into the middle of the army. He was just wading through them.
Rarely are the people going to be close spells, rarely are someone
because he couldn't take it.
It's because it comes from an era where that wasn't a thing. Back in the day, knights would not allow mages to cast magic because it was considered dishonorable.
That must have been such a hassle.
I mean, it was the same way on both sides of the battle.
The first 3 to 5 years of the campaign, there were no mages.
Yep.
Now they're everywhere.
This place is lousy with them. Okay. Not our party. No mages here.
Finding out that the king was a mage, we're not sure about this.
Well, that's why he was always, like, kind of disrespected. That, and because he was a drunk.
How long has it been in game time since the campaign?
20 years.
Wow. Quick.
This campaign?
No.
Loma. Not this campaign, no.
Thing like, the world developed quickly. You went from, like, no magic to...
Well, it's because the dragons came back.
There's been a few time changes and other things.
Main thing was the dragons came back. That's what did it. The party basically, not intentionally, but they instigated the dragons finding a Earth again. And at first, the dragons were like having no trouble getting in. And then they started policing themselves.
How was I to know that we were going to destroy a dwarven civilization that was holding back the dragon time?
Yeah, exactly.
Whoopsie daisy.
Well, live and learn. You know what to say about demigods, though, right? The first one's always your hardest.
these very same things that you're talking about play into the current campaign arc as well. And what I'm building toward for the next retreat. For the next actual retreat.
Sure, but wasn't that dangerous?
Small retreats will have to be smaller things, but the big one... It's coming up. It's going to... In fact, the uprising party has already gotten significant clues toward the next... And even Palace Pages has one.
No. I think it's going to be that crazy underground thing we found with all the banshees and stuff. Like, deep underground, bottom of the elevator.
It's not so much that, it's...
The next retreat is Theon's real...
Something that you found there, or something that you're aware of now. Information. At this point, because we're talking about the next retreat is 3 years away. 3.5 years away. So now you're talking. Right now you're just talking about information.
I'm convinced. That
foreshadowing. We are in the realm of foreshadowing.
I'm convinced that helmet teleported me.
What did?
That helmet.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You disappeared one place, appeared in another place. That's called teleporting.
No, I'm convinced that the helmet teleported me.
Yeah.
The gold helmet.
Yeah, I figured you knew that.
That's what I guessing.
Pretty good guess.
Pretty cool.
I don't know, like, I'm a nerd.
The trick is going to be, when you get back with the uprising party, the trick is going to be keeping it away from Brunson.
Oh, I ain't going to tell him. He'll know eventually, but...
He'll figure it out.
Honestly, Mike...
Withdraw, teleport.
It is a lot tougher in the hands of a mage.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not the toughest on the road?
No. Well, I mean...
Depends on how much you can do it. For
there's some things you can do with it, but... So the way it helps the teleportation work is... If you're not a caster, you can't cast a teleport, then you can use the helmet a number of times per day, usually one, right? But if you have a teleport spell in memory, then you can use it 5 times per day instead of one.
Yeah, so
it's a lot more powerful.
Good evening, folks.
Good night. Thank you.
Make someone okay,
I could have got it.
Yeah.
Can you take people with you?
Yeah.
I mean, the second Brunson finds out about it.
Would Brunson know that? Would me realistically know that?
Oh, probably.
Give him a spell.
It's a pretty famous item.
That would be so wrong.
Every mage school senior.
It's a trade-off because it's kind of like putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, no.
Because if you give it to your mage, they can make a lot better use out of it. But if you give it to a rogue or a bard or somebody like that, that's somebody that's never going to be able to teleport normally. So it's like getting the best benefit out of something that You know, the mage is already going to be able to do it. And a lot of mages don't like teleporting because there's that risk factor.
Is there a risk with the helmet? Do I know that?
Yeah, it works. It's a teleport spell.
Oh, okay.
So it works the same way as teleport.
Is it cooler if you teleport without air in your memory?
No. In fact, it will not. If you have a teleport without air in memory, that doesn't count to give you the extra teleports. You have to have a teleport in memory.
It would be kind of indicated.
At least that's the way it's written. There could be variants. There could be.
We're heading out.
Thank you. See you tomorrow. Don't forget block party. Yay for us. Fun, fun.
I'm not even actually using it in a mountain if you could even teleport in a mountain.
Did you hear at all about the Toledo Mudhens doing a praise? I can't remember the actual name of the event, but it's like Praise Toledo or something.
Yeah.
My Nana's church is part of the singing group for it, and she said that the first and only practice for it was today, and over 400 people showed up to practice to sing.
That was really cool. There were supposed to be like 3 practices. Did they cancel the other 2?
Well, I think maybe they had the other 2, but her church signed up late, and so personal practice. But yeah, she said there were about 400 people there, and well, the game is Sunday at 2, but I told her it was kind of late notice for me to go, but it's sold out. The game is sold out, all the tickets are sold out, so I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
She was telling me about that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I did hear about it, but they had it, like when I heard about it, it said, you know, they were going to have 3 practices, and it was going to be, my guess is they, you know, like at first they just didn't have enough people signed up. So, like, they didn't have 400 people signed up for the choir. They probably, the first practice, they probably had like 20 people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then they probably got on it, started recruiting, and then got the numbers way up. And they're like, well, we're not going to schedule extra practices now. And if you take a song, the thing is, if you take a song that people know, sing it anyway.
Yeah. Because, yeah, she said basically at the practice what they told them was, she didn't tell me what songs that they were singing were, but she knew most of them, and that they said if you want to sing, but you don't know the words that well, or you're trembling, you're stumbling over it, just don't stand next to a microphone and just sing with everybody.
Yeah.
So they're not really...
Yeah, that's the thing about choirs, choirs like that. When I joined the choir in East Toledo back in the day, you know, I had no confidence that I could sing or whatever like that, and they might the choir, but they don't like the individuals. There was a guy who was in our choir, and he sang every single song, whatever like that, but he was basically, what do you call that, monotone or whatever, like he couldn't...
Tone deaf.
Yeah, tone deaf, that's the word. And so... Stay tuned for more Lomunian Adventures. Stay tuned for more Lomunian Adventures.